did sleigh bells. Because what happens, Pat, is this. You know, Lake...
Well, you weren't on the lake, though. I mean...
The airport's literally on an island on the
well,
lake.
Well, it's on the island.
Yeah.
But you weren't landing on the lake.
No, but you could have, but you would have slid all the way to Buffalo because usually the lake freezes over.
I mean, well, but they couldn't land... they wouldn't land on the. I mean, that would be even as thick as that ice is. That would be really, you know, really tough to land a plane because of the weight of the plane.
Exactly,
and of course they're
never
not
support
seaplane.
The plane. And but you know, they're great. They're absolutely brilliant at keeping those runways warm, clean, and dry, even in the worst of blizzards in Toronto and at Mirabel Airport in Montreal. I've been to both of those. And it's exciting because, you know, you fly along and you look out the window and you think you're going to see Santa, his reindeer, and a sleigh. And, you know, the snow is coming down and it looks real pretty. And what happens is you end up coming in on this runway and... you know, the others are all icy and snowy, but the one that you come in on is as clean as can be. They're really very good. I think they must put heated wires in the concrete that make up this runway. Meanwhile, the Yankees took four from their favorite team to beat up on the Minnesota Twins. The Yankees now are out in Los Angeles.
So why do you think that's the best team, or why do you think Minnesota... of course, I like anybody to beat up on Minnesota, but
that's right.
Why do you? Why is that one of the Yankee favorites?
Well, because for some reason, whenever they play Minnesota, they win by either large margins or the Minnesota pitching, relief pitching gives out as it did last night in the later innings. And I think there was a walk-off home run last night,
wow.
I think by Aaron Judge. I didn't get to see the game because, frankly, folks, I hate to say it, I fell asleep. It's no fun. As Mick Jagger would sing, what a drag it is getting old. But, you know, the Yankees are now in heading to Anaheim to play the Anaheim, California Angels. And they are about to see what sort of a competition they have with some of their, with Ota Hai, a pitcher that they couldn't quite sign. A Japanese man who played in Japan for a number of years. He was a real star in Japan. And we're going to see how the Yankees make out with them. But meanwhile, Mike just walked in with Anna. And, Pat, why don't you introduce our new guests here?
Well, I will. And apparently we had him locked out. So we can't say that, like John, he was late. Mike, pronounce your last name because I don't want to screw it up.
Gallietta.
Anna?
Gallietta.
Gallietta. Okay. And his wife, Anna,
I'm going to call him Mike G and Anna G. I'll make it easy.
There you go.
Is that all right?
And I'm Pat, of course, and this is Bill.
I'm going to open it for you because it's a little warm.
Okay.
And we're two of the three sports guys, and now we're hoping to add a fourth sports guy. But I have to
show up.
I have to ask you. I was falling asleep in my earlier program because I was up so late last night. You have to be happy with the Jets pick.
Oh, yes. Sam Darnold? Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
This week, religiously follow it. You know, I had in my mind that it would be Baker Mayfield. But then around Tuesday, you started to hear that inside sources were saying that the Browns wanted Mayfield. And then at that point, you have to think, well, then the Giants are number two.
Right.
Do they pick a quarterback or do they pick the running back? And I thought about it unbiasedly. I said, if they're keeping Eli Manning for another couple of years, you don't need the quarterback right now. They haven't had a running game since Tiki Barber left, so they had to take the running back.
And he could well have been the best player in that draft.
I thought so. Certainly Gettleman thought so because he said, you know, when you have a chance to draft this high, which the last time the Giants drafted this high was with Lawrence Taylor, but when you draft this high, you've got to take someone you think is a potential Hall of Famer.
I agree.
Yeah, I think we all do. And
I saw him play on TV a couple times at Penn State, and he is quick, he is elusive, plus he can catch the ball. He's got good hands.
And his family, and he helped the Jets because his family, his father is a Jets fan, has a Jets tattoo. So we're going to the Giants. We got Donald.
Hey, you know what? I think he'll be our spy. But, you know, he and I have something in common, both born in the Bronx.
Okay.
Yes. And that to me means you got to like the guy. I mean, I'm not an Odell Beckham fan. I do like Eli Manning. And I think the Giants, if they beef up their offensive line, are going to bounce back. And the Eagles, my favorite team, is going to have to watch out when they play him because this guy can run the ball.
Well, that's why today and tomorrow are very important for the Giants because defensively they suffered dramatically last year.
They did.
Right.
2 years ago. And we thought going into last season that the Giants had so many offensive weapons, okay, hoping that the line would be okay. And it turned out that all the wide receivers got hurt and the offensive line was just as bad as it's been for a while. But defensively they had a step back too.
That's for sure.
So when we talk about playing the Eagles and we talk about, you know, competing for the division, the Giants have a lot of work to do. They could have all the weapons, but...
They certainly do. Remember, the Giants had problems in their defensive backfield last year. They got torched for a lot of points.
Yep.
And they always thought they could make it back up with a great offense. And then when Beckham got hurt and some of their running backs just didn't turn out, they had problems. The neat thing about... Barkley is he knows how to throw a block, and he can also protect the quarterback on a broken play. So to me, that's an exciting thing, and I think he adds a whole new dimension to their backfield.
I absolutely agree. I mean, I think, but I also, you know, in fact, Mike, I thought of you when the Jets picked Sam because I mean, there were a lot of good quarterbacks. In fact, weren't there five quarterbacks picked in
Josh
the first
Rosen,
round?
Yeah,
Jackson went with the, well, the Eagles traded out of their
right.
pick.
Right, and so
which
he
was
went
smart. And the Ravens picked the quarterback.
Well, I was surprised that he was still there at 32. Were you?
I thought I had read stories, and again, I used to work on Wall Street, so when you hear the news, all the insiders already, it's old news to them. Okay,
yeah.
But I had heard stories that the Patriots were interested in Lamar Jackson. But I just find, if I can say this for a second, I find this draft is fascinating. All week we heard, oh, they have to pick this guy, this team has to pick this guy. And today, now that the players have been picked, you listen to the radio on my way over here today, did the Giants make the right move? Did the Jets make the right move? Now they're second guessing.
Really?
The people that they were hoping they would pick.
Well, that's half the fun of sports, is to second guess the people who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I got to ask you a question, though,
sure.
Because this came up when I was talking with a friend and client this morning. The Jets had Mark Sanchez, a USC quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't work out. And USC quarterbacks have a way of not really working out in the NFL.
There was another Barkley, I think, was the USC quarterback as well. Yeah.
That's right. And what I think is that it has nothing to do with what college they're from or what program they came out of, because the pros are completely different. It's a whole other universe there. But Darnold seems to have an awful lot of good tools. I do know that he does take a long time to throw the ball. He seems to have a long windup.
But he's 20 years old.
And he's trainable. He's smart.
Have you heard of Peter King from Sports Illustrated, the football guy from Sports Illustrated? He was on the radio on the way here. And he basically said that not only do the Jets have a very good offensive coordinator that'll teach Darnold, but Josh McCown is the most professional, nicest football player that he's ever met, and that he's the perfect mentor.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to play right away. And that's the thing about the Jets. They had to get the franchise quarterback. They had to give up the draft picks to get him. But that doesn't mean that they're going to win this year. The Jets have a lot of holes to fill, too.
I think, you know, you never honestly...
Remember, the Jets were 5-11, and they do indeed have a lot of holes to fill.
But
defensively, they were good.
But also, let's not forget, we don't know who's going to get injured. And that's always so important.
You never know.
You never know. So some team that, you know, like my Packers, where you think they're really, you know, great, Aaron Rodgers out, and, you know, look
what
happened
to
our season.
They had a great season going, and then he got hurt.
Yep,
right.
Exactly.
But think about this. You have Carr from Oakland. His brother was the prodigy. His brother was going to bring Houston all the way to the top.
Right.
He didn't pan out. There's a lot of reasons. You mentioned Mark Sanchez before. My opinion, I don't think it was a USC situation why he didn't pan out. If you remember, when they drafted him, his coach at USC, Pete Carroll, said
right.
he was coming out too early. He came out anyway. The Jets traded up to get him. And what happened the first 2 years? The Jets built the team based on free agency.
Okay. A lot of those guys left.
And they went to the championship game two games.
Right.
Two times.
Two title games.
But then what happens? When you sign free agents and you give these contracts, they never last the entire contract. All of a sudden,
right.
they're cap casualties and you have to cut them. The Jets basically decimated their team in his third year. So when he, the year they played the Patriots and he had the butt fumble, remember the,
oh, yeah.
the team collapsed? It you know, the media portrays it as the quarterback, that he's a failure. But the way he was set up was to not be a guy who's going to throw 300-400 yards and carry a team. He was going to pass the ball. Rex Ryan was the coach. He was run first, smash mouth football. So if he passed for 150, 200 yards, and they ran for 200 yards, and the defense was top notch at the time, they were going to go places. So I think, in retrospect, he really didn't get a chance. They didn't groom him the right way.
Remember, you think that Mark Sanchez didn't get a fair shake out of the Jets, and I'm inclined to agree with you. I've never been a Rex Ryan fan.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, when his dad, Buddy Ryan, was coaching the Eagles, and we had this buddy ball stuff, he ruined Wilbert Montgomery
mm-hmm.
as a back. He literally burned him out. He did not get guys who would block for him, and he would not force the O-line to open holes for them
mm-hmm.
for him in a way that was consistent with Montgomery's skills,
right.
because Montgomery was a straight-ahead kind of guy, and
mm-hmm.
people had to blow holes in the D-line in order to give him some room to build up some speed, and it did not happen.
Which brings me to the draft, and you talk. Of course, everybody loves to talk sports, and they always take the opposite opinion. There are two ways to draft. You draft for need, and you draft the best player available. Everybody's complaining that Cleveland picked the cornerback with the fourth pick, the guy from Ohio State, as opposed to the end rusher that went to Denver. Well, Cleveland has two end rushers, one of whom he drafted last year. They draft another one, they're going to stunt the first guy's growth, and they had a terrible secondary. So they may have picked a quarterback because they felt it was the best quarterback available, but they picked the cornerback because they drafted for need. So when you have all these
yep.
special draft picks last night, those are the teams that are drafting for need. They're not saying, oh, my God, this superstar, potential superstar is out there. We have to get him.
But you know what? Ted Thompson always drafted the best player available.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really helped the Packers. I truly do. Now, I was disappointed last night. Maybe Bill could guess. Who do you think that I wanted? Well,
Calvin Ridley.
Nope. I wanted the Packers to Bradley Chubb. They would have had to obviously trade up.
You wanted a good defensive player.
I wanted Bradley Chubb, and I love.
Did he go to the Cardinals?
No, he went to Denver. Chubb went to Denver, and Chubb went to Denver, and I love Vita Vea, and
right.
he went to Tampa.
But,
you know who he reminded me of, and I saw some old tapes of his when he was running. But you know who, a few times I've seen him play, who he reminded me? You have to know. Bill has to know as an Eagles fan.
Oh, you're talking about Reggie White?
You know how Reggie went in and basically,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what they call it, humped him up or lifted him up?
Yep.
That's what he reminded me of. And I just thought Packer fans would have loved him.
We were funny, last night we were watching the draft because I had to do my homework because she told me we were going to talk the draft today. And we called him Moana from Disney.
Oh, yeah.
That's what we had to be
like. Okay.
But the Packers, did the new general manager did a fantastic job last night.
He did a lot of trading.
He traded down, got a first-round pick because New Orleans moved up 13 spots to get a guy that they probably would have been able to get anyway. So they got a first-round pick next year.
Yep.
And then as soon as they moved down to 27, they traded right back up.
And got up to 18.
And got someone that they felt that they needed.
Yeah. Although it's very interesting because, and I don't know much about the guy, but I have to tell you, I'm not sure if Ted Thompson had been there, he would have drafted him. And you know why? Because he's short.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, Ted Thompson almost had this ironclad rule that he had to be over 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, and so I don't know much about the Alexander that they drafted, but I know that everybody is thinking it was good. On the other hand, and I never can remember the names. I think his first name is Jair. Jair.
Yeah.
I mean, I think people are saying, you know, that, you know, he's got an edge, but he's only about 5'10", and he's under 200 pounds. But the good thing that I've heard about him is that he can play inside.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Packers, I think that I would have liked, and I hope they can get some good defensive guys in there. Matthews needs some help. He's mm-hmm. been around for a while. And if they don't protect Aaron Rodgers, you know, we're going to have another disaster.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of the draft itself last night? I was sitting there, and they have 10 minutes on the clock. And then all of a sudden, with 2 minutes to go, they say the pick is in. But then it takes 5 minutes for the commissioner to come out.
Well, there were times where I thought it was taking too long.
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple times I actually fell asleep as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked the guys. I thought they were doing a good job, you know, talking between, you know, when they were waiting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really an exciting draft, maybe because I knew some of the players. I was more interested. Usually I kind of wait until, you know, mm-hmm. see who the Packers draft. And mm-hmm. I think it was probably, would it have been more boring for people who really follow college football? I don't follow. I mean, I follow the Big Ten,
right.
But I'm not a big college football. I don't.
Well, it's hard because there's so many schools.
Right.
You know the top 10. You know the top 20 teams, and you know right. some of the star players from that. But other than that, the biggest thing I got out of the draft was the fact that a Giants pick, Barkley was had signed with Rutgers, and Penn State stole him. He would have imagined if that
yeah.
running back was on the Scarlet Knights, right?
Well,
in New Jersey.
Who's the kid from Salem who's I'm blanking who's playing for Wisconsin now, who also had committed to Rutgers? Oh, we were out there in the fall, and he's really good.
They're a good football school,
and they're great footballs. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
for a school that's a good academic school, and
mm-hmm.
that's the thing. I mean, you get
Yeah,
well, now, in the old
days.
The
past 3-4 years.
Yeah, in the old days, they, you know, forget it. I don't think anybody ever went to a basketball game. But, you know, academically, it's a tougher school for a lot of these kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they've had, and, you know, from what I know, it's a tough school to play football, obviously. They all are. I mean, I just can't imagine. I remember even when I was there, these kids put in so much time. You know, and playing football.
When you talk about that, and you talk about college football, I was reading an article yesterday that schools that have had the most NFL players, and just, I mean, you would think Florida State and Miami, but Stanford and Wisconsin and
mm-hmm.
Iowa,
mm-hmm.
schools like that that are good, you know,
academically, yeah.
they graduate and they go to the pros. Even Rutgers. When Shiano took over, there are a lot of NFL players from Rutgers at the moment. Sanu from Atlanta.
It's interesting that you say that because when Penn State had to rebuild their program, one of the attractions was you'd get a good education here, and we're rebuilding a team, you're going to get to play. So that pulled a lot of people in after.
You're talking about Temple?
No,
Penn State.
Penn State, okay,
you know,
I'm sorry.
Temple University, on the other hand, who has two seasons ago lost to Navy in the championship game right after Temple's coach and coaching staff left to go to Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't lose badly to Navy. Navy was a good team. Temple University had attracted some people because of the quality of their academic program and also because of the quality of the coaching. The coaching was so good that Baylor University stole a guy. So Temple's now had a decent rebuilding year. They were over 500. They had a lot of seniors graduate. And they're an attractive school for a lot of people who want to be in the Philadelphia area.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you, Pat, why Jair Alexander at cornerback for Green Bay?
You know, I don't know. That wasn't somebody I was really following. And didn't have time. I know he went to Louisville. And I didn't have time today to go on the internet to find out what the Packers are saying about him and what everybody is saying about him. They need someone in that position, and if he can also play inside, I think that's good.
What happens in the draft is they needed secondary help, whatever the size.
Yeah.
Okay, so now they trade down and they pick up two picks in this year's draft for today or tomorrow. I forget which number the picks were. And they pick up a number one next year. And there are 27. Now they look at the board and they see who's out there. And the guy, Derwin James, was a top 10 prospect in this draft. The guy
right.
from Florida State. He dropped all the way to 17 to San Diego. So his second San Diego picked him. San Diego
right.
didn't do anything special. They're sitting there at 17, and this all-star potential Hall of Famer drops to them. They pick him, and they say, San Diego just did a great job. They picked the best guy available. Now he's going. So now I guess Green Bay's thinking, well, now here comes the defensive backs. We better get the guy we want. We got the first-round pick, so let's see if we can trade up. And based on who was available,
He was
right the best.
Yeah,
I'm always surprised though because we always hype first round picks and it's such a crapshoot. Look at the problem Cleveland had a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They picked a guy who they thought would be a great quarterback and he had all kinds of character problems and now they've had to go out and pick another quarterback again. Then you have the Ravens who took the Eagles pick at number 32 and went to Lamar Jackson. Because sooner or later, they're going to dump their guy. The Ravens really had a huge drop-off, and we know Joe Flacco is on his way out two or three years.
I learned this last night. I don't know if you were hearing. It was really quick they mentioned it. I just realized that you know how, you can have a fifth-year option? That's only with first-rounders.
Right, because you don't get that fifth year with the second-rounders.
Second-rounders.
Right.
And so that's why they made the trade.
Exactly. And you know the other thing,
well,
too,
that's
interesting. You're tying these guys up on a rookie contract for 5 years, and I understand that. Remember, the average career in the NFL is 4 years, 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Some you get hurt. You better have a good insurance policy because you may never play again. You'll never see that kind of money again.
Mm-hmm.
And when you begin to look at how a lot of these contracts have gotten structured, and I've actually years ago read a player contract and I was curious, they're not guaranteed. You get hurt, you better have bought a lot of insurance.
You're right.
So
do these guys even get insurance? I mean, that's the problem.
Oh, the answer is yeah. You're paying a high premium, and insurance agents are very happy to sell that kind of cover. Particularly Lloyd's of London always wrote things like that here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
as they do for soccer players in England and in Europe. But it's interesting to me. I didn't realize, as you correctly point out, that a first-round draft choice is tied up for 5 years.
Yeah, but if they're really good, yes,
then maybe
right.
they're worth it. But remember, with a quarterback, he may not be playing for a year or two.
Well, or if you look at Aaron Rodgers, I mean,
he played
remember,
behind Brett Favre for 3 years.
No, more than that. But that's a perfect example of how The Packers went out. They did not need a quarterback. What, Aaron was like 24th, I think, and he was still there. And even though they, I doubt seriously if they did plans to draft Aaron Rodgers. But he was there. He was in. He was the best player, and they drafted him. And didn't he sit 4 or 5 years?
Was it 4 years that he sat?
At least four.
Because remember, Favre was hurt. He got into a couple of games, and suddenly Favre played with the Jets for a year.
No, no, but wait a minute.
Did I get that right?
But Favre did not play for the Jets until he retired and then didn't and wanted to go back.
That's right.
And then
that's right.
And then he then the Packers. And I think, you know, I was a real Favre fan. But I think what happened is the Packers realized that Aaron Rodgers was going to leave if he didn't start playing. And so that I do think that Favre was pressured into retiring. I think it was handled poorly both sides. But then nobody cared much when he went to the Jets. The problem was when he went to the Vikings. Really?
Because he started off 9-3 and he hurt his arm and he didn't tell anybody and that was it for the team. He came to the Jets.
Yeah, but they were really happy to get Favre. I mean,
he was still a good quarterback. I thought he was a great quarterback.
Oh, I don't know if his heart was in it. I think he wanted, frankly, I think he wanted to go back to a team that would be playing the Packers. He wanted to show the Packers. And so there was no way that he could get that contract the first year. So I'm not sure he was.
And then he did it the next year when he went to Minnesota.
And then he went to Minnesota. But I have a feeling that he never really intended on staying with the Jets, although he bought a house out here and, you know, whatever. But that was another example of how the Packers went after, when they got Aaron Rodgers, they went after the next best player. One of the things that I think people will be talking about in the future is the, you know, Jets and the Giants, when not after Eli retires, and the two quarterbacks. I mean, which team made the best choice?
Well, that's another intriguing thing. The Giants are picking second. The Jets are picking third. The Giants, for obvious reasons, and I think they made the right decision. There are a lot of people out there saying they should have taken a quarterback.
No, I'm not so sure.
But I think that they made the right decision. But here's the thing. 3 years from now, because running backs have a shorter lifespan than quarterbacks, as you just mentioned, three years from now or 5 years from now, if Barkley gets hurt or Barkley doesn't, you know,
pan out,
or he flames out, that's a better word, and Donald becomes the franchise quarterback for the Jets, which is no guarantee, then for years they'll be saying the Giants basically gave the Jets the quarterback that they should have had.
And because they're both here in New York, New Jersey, that's going to be what's so interesting because you're right. There's such rivalry anyway between the Jet fans and the Giant fans. Wait till you meet our other guy, John, because, of course, John is a big Giants fan. So you guys are going to have a great deal of fun. And now we better have a great deal of a break.
Why don't we hit that money button, Pat? We've got to keep our sponsors happy.
Some of the sponsors, and we'll be back shortly.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back.
We sure are, Pat. We've got a new guest here, Mike and Anna, and we're not going to say their last names because I can't pronounce it, so I'm going to let them say them.
Gallietta. Okay. Mike and Anna.
Gallietta, I can now say.
And welcome to the sports guys once again.
Yeah, Anna's an observer, I think, and that's just fun.
I talk a lot during the day. I'm just listening now.
Well, you know how much you can see how much we all like sports here.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
That's
now,
what I said.
Are you a Yankee fan? Yankee fan or Mets fan?
I'm a Mets fan.
Well, like my brother.
That's why I said, Bill, this is going to be really fun.
Yeah. And that's how I became a Jet fan, because the Mets played at Shea Stadium, and so did the Jets.
Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, one of the first things I was allowed to do when I was 10 was to go with my friends to Shea Stadium and see the Mets and also to see the Jets. Mm-hmm. And I remember when the Yankees actually had to play at Shea because they were renovating, and mm-hmm. we got to go to a couple Yankee games.
73 and 74, 74
right.
and 75.
Yeah, the Horace Clark years.
Yes.
The Yankee equivalent of the Babylonian captivity. it's hard to describe it in any other way. But, you know, I don't miss Shea Stadium. I've been to Citi Field. It's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
Shea, I remember seeing Mets outfielders losing fly balls in the moon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have a full moon. The airplanes from LaGuardia would be going over, and it looked like they were just about going to make it over the top of the stadium. Sometimes,
well,
and
some of the old stadiums
play the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the old stadiums were interesting. I know my husband actually remembers a Packers plane in Old City Stadium, which was high school in Green Bay. I think it was a high school stadium, and before they went to Lambeau. And my recollection, I don't remember it as a kid. That was the first place I ever went to a game. But I think they first built Lambeau in about 57.
Mm-hmm,
and,
right.
You know, and of course, Green Bay is a very different. You were talking about, did you get to go to Lambeau on that trip?
No, I didn't. No.
You really
but
missed
Lambeau,
it.
Lambeau, I have this tradition with my, I have four boys. and one of them is only 7, so he's going to get to do it when he's 13. But I took them away wherever they wanted to go when they were 13, just me and
that's a great trip.
So my first one, my oldest, the one who's an Eagles fan, the trip that we picked was we flew to Boston and we went to a game at Fenway Park.
Oh,
and then we
great.
Flew straight to Chicago and went to Wrigley Field.
That's great.
That's what Fenway Park, that's what Lambeau Field is, that traditional field.
Well, I would love to see a Cubs game in Chicago and a Packer Bear game in Chicago. I've never done that. We've been to a lot of games. I've been to a number of stadiums also. That's another thing on my bucket list. Anna, you're going to think I'm crazy. I want to go to all the stadiums.
I would love to do that.
I mean, I have been to a number of them, but watch Packers play in the stadiums. You know, mm-hmm. That's the idea, not just, you know, I've been to the Patriots Stadium, but the Packers weren't playing. So, I mean,
right.
Now this year, of course, and Bill, you may not know this, but the Packers are playing the Jets. Is it December 23rd? I mean, it's right
around Christmas where the Packers.
Right, yeah,
play
no,
the Jets.
It's right around. Right. No, I've checked the schedule.
That'll actually be a good game. I think the Jets will be improved. I think the Packers have something to prove after last season when Rodgers will be well.
Yeah, but 2 days before. I think it's 2 days before Christmas.
That's a great time for football.
No, well.
It's cold.
It's not if you have to put on a Christmas for the whole family. But I don't mind the cold. I don't either. I shouldn't say that because the game I went to and was unbelievable when the Giant playoff game in Lambeau when it was 13 below zero.
When the Giants won on that.
Yeah.
The Giants won that game.
Well, and
you
I was
you had to be, you had to
I
be
was
sick.
Sitting right there when in overtime Farr threw the interception.
Oh, you had to be sick.
Oh,
I still can't believe he made that kick that long in that cold weather. I thought the ball wouldn't carry.
You know, yeah, especially with the ball dead and, you know, cold air, it doesn't carry.
Oh.
You know, I saw Green Bay spot the Bears 27 points in the first half and come back in the second half to win behind Brett Favre. This was 2002. It was right after Thanksgiving. John Manfreda mm-hmm. went to the game with me, along with my then law partner, John Parker, and a friend, Nigel Powell. And we had a blast. But, you know, it was 19 degrees at 1 o'clock kickoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the temperature went down after that. We actually had some snow. And we looked at each other and said, it doesn't get better than this.
I've always envisioned games in the Midwest where, you know, where it really gets cold. The Ice Bowl, you know, you hear those stories. But when we were talking about Mark Sanchez before, when the Jets went to the two championship games, they played Cincinnati in the first year they went to the championship game, and I went to the game. And it was at, I don't know if MetLife wasn't built yet, or was it?
Giant Stadium
Giant
was still being used, not MetLife.
It was 20 below zero with the wind chill factor. That I was wearing my ski pants and 5 sweatshirts, and we sat there the whole game and watched, because it just shut him out. I'm saying, is this what it's like in Green Bay in December?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how cold it was.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you learn layers, and in fact, and I've said this before, because the guys think I'm nuts, but some of the first best layer is silk long johns, you know, and you know, I've had guys who say, and then when they warn them, they come back to me and they say, you're right, because that is it's very light. So mm-hmm. you then layer up and you do a good ski mask and whatever. But I know my husband Dave said he's getting too old to sit out in that cold.
But you know what the good thing is about Green Bay? If everybody's bundled up like that, and you get between two people really bundled up, your butt never hits those icy cold aluminum bleachers.
Well, as a matter of fact, the problem is you can't get up and cheer because they are so narrow that when you sit back down, you're right, there's no place to sit.
Like
but anyway.
Yeah, I spent the fourth quarter of that game, about an inch off the seat.
Let's get back to the draft. And
there
was one.
So much fun, Pat.
Did I never saw him play?
What do you think is the team that made the worst choice in the draft? I was trying to decide that today.
I don't think you can tell. Can you?
Pardon?
I don't know if you can tell yet.
I can tell you what I was surprised at, I was surprised that New Orleans trading up to get Davenport. But then you listen to the people, you know, broadcasting the draft, and they said they think they're going for the Super Bowl next year. Drew Brees isn't getting any older, any younger, so they have to get the guy that they think is going to make the biggest difference to get him over the top. I thought Dallas's pick was a little crazy.
Well, they, you know, talking about New Orleans, that was a surprise. All the guys before that, if you remember, they were predicting they would take Lamar. They were absolutely predicting that New Orleans would take Lamar, because I think they were thinking about Brees.
Pat, that's a great point, but think about it. How many teams didn't even really have a starting quarterback going into this draft? You talk about Cleveland, you talk about the Jets, you talk about Buffalo, you talk about even Miami, who didn't get a quarterback. But then how many teams are out there that their quarterback won't be their quarterback in the next 2 years? I mean, Roethlisberger is still on top of his
right.
game, but he's talking about retiring every year. Flacco, you mentioned.
Right.
Brees.
Drew Brees is 40. Phillip Rivers, I thought, and I still think, that if that guy from Florida State, Derwin James, didn't drop to them at 17, they would have taken Lamar Jackson, because Phillip Rivers is just as old as Eli, right? They got drafted
right.
in the same draft in 2004. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams over the next few years they're going to desperately need quarterbacks. And I think that's why the quarterbacks were so hot. Each quarterback in the draft this year had a flaw. They all talked about it. Darnold had too many turnovers.
But you know something? You can teach protecting the ball.
That's the one thing that you
can
teach.
You can teach that away. Because look at Carson Wentz's first year. He had five or six incidents where he made bad looks, he didn't read things correctly, and suddenly that got straightened out.
Yep.
Well, you know, they were actually comparing Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
With Wentz, and I think the one thing that Dave said is he wonders that because he played for such a small school, he played for Wyoming, but that was the argument about against Wentz. That, you know,
he played for such
a small school that could he really, you know, handle Philadelphia. So, you know, apparently Josh Allen has a big arm and, you know, he's...
Well, Josh Allen went for the Bills.
He's a project, though. He's a project. There is no way he's going into Buffalo and starting. He's going to be on the bench for a year or two.
But
he signed A.J. McCarron from Cincinnati because he was a free agent. And then we'll see what happens. And if he's ready, they'll play him when he's ready. But, I mean, look at Jared Goff from the Rams. 2 years ago when he came out with Wentz, remember there was going to be Wentz or Goff? The Eagles were going to take whatever the Rams didn't take?
Right.
Okay. Now it worked out superbly for both of them. But the Rams took Goff, and he had a horrible first year. So then you start talking about bust. But that's why it's so funny. You talk about Sanchez, you talk Jared Goff. You bring in a new coach in the right system, you can turn someone who's playing horribly into a superstar.
Well, let me give you the classic example with the Eagles, Nelson Aguilar, high draft pick. I think he was a second rounder, might have been a first rounder. First year with Chip Kelly, he was slated for big things, and he was a bust. Mm-hmm. Second year, same problem, then Kelly was gone. First year with Peterson, he was told, you better go to wide receiver camp in the off season. This year, I think he had a stellar year.
Mm-hmm.
Nelson Aguilar finally realized how to run a pattern, how to look a ball into his hands, and he now has great soft hands. He really catches the ball well. Watch him go up for a ball and watch him run a pattern now. They suddenly got very crisp, very tight. And he'll turn, put his hands up, and the ball is there for him from Wentz and also from Nick Foles. I was very impressed this year.
But,
it's
you know,
coaching.
Bill, but you can look at so many players that, you know, some of them it takes a few years. Mm-hmm. That's why I think there should be. I think the roster should be bigger.
You think
it should be
a 60-man roster?
We've had this discussion
before.
I think the roster should be bigger. But also, I mean, look at Favre. Would he have ever been given a chance in Atlanta?
That's an excellent
point.
Who
did he get traded for? It was Deion Sanders? No.
I think they just picked him up.
The Falcons drafted him and then traded
him. He was there for a year.
But how did he go to Green Bay? He got traded to Green Bay, right?
He did, but I don't know if it was a trade for anyone.
Maybe for a draft pick or something?
I honestly don't remember. I think that, and I'm trying to remember if that was Ted Thompson or the GM before had seen Favre, and they went after him. And I can't remember what they gave for him.
Mm-hmm.
But you wonder, just would he have ever, become the star that he was?
Everything happens for a reason.
If he had stayed with Atlanta, mm-hmm.
I think Favre had the benefit of good coaching in Green Bay.
Well, of course he did.
He had the benefit of playing for Andy Reid. He was their quarterback coach, wasn't he?
And he also had the benefit of Holmgren biting his tongue a lot of times because, I mean, there's no question. I don't know if there'll be anyone who was ever more fun to watch play than Brett Favre, especially if you were at the game. I mean, a lot of time on television, they wouldn't show all of his antics and things. I mean, he was like a high school kid. He loved to play.
And that goes back to what you talked about the turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Favre didn't really protect the ball that well. He would throw for 400 yards and he'd have 2-3 interceptions. So when you talk about Sam Darnold, if that's the worst thing he is turning the ball over a couple of times. He had 5 turnovers in the postseason because the team was behind and he was trying to win.
Yeah.
You can't fault him for trying to force it when the game's on the line.
No question. And remember something else. The Jets' defense is incrementally better than it was a year ago after the season. And I think the Jets' defense is going to get him back the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have the opportunity to recover from these, what I'm going to call rookie mistakes.
Right.
That's the advantage
of a good defense.
You talked about, you have to have good players, but somehow they also have to meld with the coach. And the one thing that people often don't realize about Lombardi is when he went into Green Bay, and I think I think they'd had one win the year before.
Yes.
He did not have he didn't have new players. He had the guys who'd been there. Mm-hmm. And somehow that he was able to take that team without bringing in a lot of new players. And just they became winners.
But think of where he came from. Tom Landry was the offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. And Vince Lombardi was the defensive coordinator of the New York Giants. Can anybody remember the name of the head coach? No, because I can't, because it was them. It was the two of them.
Right.
I think.
Well, he wanted to be.
Reynolds.
It may have been, but the point being, it's kind of like you always hear who wins the Super Bowl, but you never hear who loses.
Right.
It was Tom Landry and Vince Lombardi, and they had such a pedigree from the Giants. He went into Green Bay, and he said, "What are you doing? This is the way you do this. This is the way you set it up."
Apropos to what you say, let's extend his pedigree back a little bit more. He was a Fordham grad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a defensive lineman at Fordham. Wasn't he one of the blocks of granite at Fordham? Up in the Bronx?
I'm not sure. Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
But who owned the Giants at that time? Because...
Oh, it was America.
Maris.
They still have Maris.
And... Lombardi really wanted to be the coach in
the Giants.
You
know what I was convinced of when he left? And I had this discussion with my uncle who put the bug in my ear. They wouldn't give him a head coaching job because they didn't want an Italian guy coaching the Giants.
They didn't want a Catholic.
Italian Catholic.
You're absolutely... I believe that.
And my uncle served on a ship... in World War II, his buddies were all Italian. He was the only Jewish guy on the ship. They were all huge football fans, and they were all huge Navy fans, obviously. Mm-hmm. If you were an Army fan, they would throw you over the side. But My uncle was convinced, as were his friends who would come into the gas station. They argued about that. I remember this as a little kid. The only reason they let Lombardi go to the Packard was Mara wasn't going to let him be the coach of the Giants, head coach of the Giants, that. Because of his background, which I thought was terrible.
I mean, that's always what I heard. And then and
everything happens for a reason.
And then apparently Mara wanted him back, and he didn't go. And interesting, when you talk about that, I don't remember. Now, I was a kid, but I don't remember ever anybody saying, you know, anything about him because he was Italian.
In
Green Bay, it was a very Dutch, you know, I mean, there are a lot of Dutch, some Norwegian.
People, German
now,
people,
of course, he was Catholic and he went to church every day, yeah. So that would have been a big thing. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I've ever thought about that. You know, I didn't know nationalities growing up. In other words, I wouldn't have known that Lombardi was an Italian name. I think that's much more of an East Coast thing.
I think
you're right. And the other thing is, and I say that because I grew up in a German community. We're not German, but I grew up in a German community. So people used to say to me, well, what do you mean you don't know that that person is Jewish? Because a lot of Jewish people have German names.
Mm-hmm.
Or same thing with Polish names. So anyway, I don't ever remember anything at all about Lombardi's religion. The interesting thing back then was, this was a completely, you know, northern Wisconsin. There were no blacks, and so if you were black in one of the towns in northern Wisconsin, I think people thought you were a Packer.
You must have been there because you played for the Packers.
But Lombardi must have been. He must have recognized that kind of prejudice because he was probably the first coach who ever insisted when they went south that his players stay together.
Mm-hmm.
And
I didn't know that.
That's my understanding. And, I mean, he had black and white players rooming together.
He's made more of a difference in football than anything. The Super Bowl trophy is the Vince Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The interesting thing about Vince Lombardi is somebody wrote a stage play about him, and I'm sorry I never got to see it. Did you see it?
You know, I hate to say this, but we always intended on going in, and we didn't see it either.
I'm amazed.
Well,
we
saw it, but not on Broadway. I mean, we've seen the play, but we didn't see it on Broadway, and I wish I would have done that.
Yeah. Did you actually see the play?
We saw the play, but not when it was on Broadway.
Now, was it a musical or was it a drama?
No, it wasn't really a musical.
I don't think Vince Lombardi sang.
No. But they really partied.
Being a musical.
But they really partied out there after those games.
Oh. We talked last night. The reason why I know so much about Lombardi is because I watched that ESPN special,
mm-hmm.
30 on 30, and they had him, and it was a small neighborhood right near Lambeau Field, and he had a little ranch house
mm-hmm.
within a block of the field, and downstairs they had the bar.
In the rec
all
room.
The men had to build, you know, they had to have that bar, and they had the wood paneling, and Pat, you were telling me how they would have people over Friday night or something
No. It was Sunday after the game.
Sunday after the game.
Sunday night after the game. Oh, no.
Yep.
He did nothing between, after Sunday night, he was right back there. The other thing he did is he went to Mass every single day and Dave could tell you the name of the church, something like, it was a strange name, Hilderman, I don't know the name, Saint whatever it is in Green Bay, and he would be, you know, church. And, of course, people in Green Bay don't bother the players. They wouldn't bother the coach. Mm-hmm. They're respectful of, but they really became part of the community. And of course, there's nothing else to do in Green Bay. So, Bill, I always get the show back to Green Bay.
Well, I would get back to Philadelphia, and I wanted to point out I've actually been to Eagle games in Franklin Field, which is at the University of Pennsylvania's 1930s style. U or bowl, And right now they're running the pennant relays there, although it's kind of rainy today. So I don't know how much of it they're going to get done, or they may go indoors for some of it. But for those of you who have a chance to go down to Philadelphia this weekend, check out the pennant relays. Lots of fun. Track and field events are not my thing, not my forte, but I've been three or four times, and we have a client who is one of the officials. He's there right now.
Well, I guess most of us, if we're really diehard, we'll be watching the draft tonight. Anything that, you know, who do you want? How many more picks to the Jets?
I'm kind of disappointed tonight because to move up from 6 to 3, they had 2 second-round picks, and they gave them up. And they gave up their second-round pick from next year to Indianapolis. So the Jets only have 1 pick tonight.
But the Eagles are picking at 52. And the Eagles feel like they don't really have any holes to fill. So this is going to be, I think they're going to pick the best offensive lineman or the best defensive back they can find.
My son was telling me, he knows the roster backwards and forwards Eagles. He says they really don't have any needs.
Right.
They have the best defensive line of football. They just picked up Michael Bennett.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Maybe they get a running back because they lost Blount. You know what I mean? But it's all fill-ins. That's why they traded back. They don't need...
You know what said to me that they felt they were full up when they let Brett Celek go? Because I always watched him. He's been there 6-7 years. I recognize he may be on the downslope of his career, but on the other hand, good hands, good possession-type receiver. But I noticed the last 2 years, Peterson was seeing the ball, was designing plays where he was blocking. He wasn't really the first read. And I noticed that with Wentz would rarely need to go to his third choice as a receiver. Often instead, Wentz would either eat the ball or he'd take off. And
so what's going to happen this year? Can he run?
You know what I think is going to happen? I don't think there's going to be a quarterback controversy.
Well, how soon do you think he'll play? I mean, they're very lucky with Foles. No, I don't think anybody expects Wentz to start first 2-3 games.
The first 4 games. I mean, if the
I don't think you're going to see Carson Wentz on that field until October. My personal opinion, and. You know, Peterson is a think-outside-the-box kind of guy. Look at some of the plays they ran, like the famous Philadelphia play where Foles catches a ball in the end zone.
That was a great play.
I love that play.
So let me ask you.
But let me finish my point.
Okay.
And I do have one now and then.
It just takes you too long to get to it.
I know.
we do this all the time.
That's the pleasure of being a lawyer and liking sports. But you must understand.
I'm not arguing. I'm a car dealer.
Hey, that's right. But you would have sold 3 cars by the time I got to my point, right?
Right.
Yeah. And gotten the financing.
There you go.
And the Z-barting. And an extended warranty. Okay. But I think what Peterson is going to do is he's going to use these guys interchangeably starting in November so that it will continue to baffle defenses. You may see Foles under some circumstances, and you're going to see Wentz under other circumstances. And it's going to be very difficult to prepare for a game when you don't know what – defensively, you don't know what quarterback you're going to see.
I'm sorry. If the Eagles won the Super Bowl and Carson Wentz was projected to be 100% healthy for the start of this season – Nick Foles would have been traded for draft picks next year.
That wouldn't surprise me.
But here's the problem now. You have a window. Just in baseball, in relief pitchers, they could have a superstar year 1 year, and they're not good the next year. It's whatever you get, so to speak. So Nick Foles had his time on the stage. He shined brilliantly. They gave him a raise, even though he's the backup quarterback, just to reward him because he's a true professional. But this is his chance with all that demand out there. People are calling the Jets about Bryce Petty. He can't even play on the Jets. They're calling for backup quarterbacks. What could the Eagles get for Nick Foles? They can't get anything because they have to keep him. Because Wentz isn't going to be ready, but he will be. So maybe they do that in and out thing, but is that fair to either quarterback